Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole here with Ray Jeezy and Will T. Now part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for the DMV sports teams. But Ray made fun of me earlier. Let me patch in my homies because we're doing our social distancing thing. Let's see. Ray, you there?
Yes, sir.
Will
What's
T.
happening?
Is Will T there? I have it.
What's going on?
My man. I'm here. My man. What's going on, fellas?
All is well. Looks like Coach is still having a hard time getting in.
Oh, he still is? Okay.
Yeah, cool. I was having a hard time getting with the access code. I had to hang up and call in.
For real?
Again.
Oh, man. Tough.
So
maybe we won't delay that.
Okay, I'm going to call him, Wally. Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead. Call him.
Live, but,
yeah, call him. It's all good.
Okay.
All right. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our – it's not new anymore – our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. But we'll see what's going on with you, my man. Everything good, man? You know what I'm saying?
Nothing much.
You know what I'm saying?
Everything's cool. I cannot complain, man.
Did you eat dinner, Rank? Mm-hmm. Did you eat dinner? Because I just did. I made some bomb turkey spaghetti, man.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? I want everybody to know.
The coach is in the building. Coach is here.
All right, cool, man. I'm stalling time about my
questions about dinner.
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about my turkey spaghetti because it was real. You know what I'm saying? Just folks out there, Nigerians can cook spaghetti too. Just letting y'all know. We get down with spaghetti too. All right. We'll see.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. As part of our PG Ballers series, we will have Wise Basketball head coach Lewis Wilson at 8:25. We'll talk about the Skins officially retiring the nickname. At 8:35, we will talk about high school basketball recruit McCormick going to the Howard University. Finally, at 8:45, Johnny Sigg from Leave It in the Ring Radio will jump on the show to talk about the reappearance of Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield in the boxing game. Ray, you want to introduce our guest first?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to speak on behalf of all of us.
Definitely.
You know, just saying that, and doing some research, we quickly discovered that, you know, this gentleman who I'm introducing, he has such an extensive basketball resume. Going back to his playing days at the Howard University, and Wole, by the way, it seems like he always played well against UMES. I don't know how that sits with you, but...
Yeah, a lot of MEAC teams played well against UMES, bro.
Anyway, you know, from how he transitioned to just a phenomenal coaching career in which he's amassed 700 plus victories, numerous accolades and championships, and what will hopefully be, you know, this is going to be your first of many appearances on the Urban Sports Scene. He's currently the head coach for Henry A. Wise Boys Basketball. Coach Lou Wilson, how you doing, brother?
Good job, Brent. That was amazing.
Quite well. Thank you so much for having me this evening. I appreciate it so very, very much. And look forward to the conversation this evening.
Oh, thanks for being on. We appreciate it. Definitely.
Absolutely.
The first question I want to ask is PG basketball is popping right now. PG basketball is getting all the notoriety thanks to Kevin Durant's documentary, Basketball County in the Water. Did you watch the documentary? And if so, what were your thoughts on it?
Absolutely. Not only did I watch the documentary, but I was actually featured several times in the documentary.
Oh, wow.
Prince George County basketball has always been a hotbed for basketball. Some of the best talent in the country has come out of Prince George's County, and I just thought that the story that Kevin Durant helped produce with Jimmy Jenkins, I thought that they did an outstanding job, and I thought that it's just the tip of the iceberg. I believe that they are going to come back and do a few more parts to the story, okay, because there are so many phenomenal athletes that came out of Prince George's County back in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you know, so they just touched on a few of them. So I'm looking forward to the next In the Water, episode 2, episode 3, or episode 4.
Yeah.
Wow, Coach Wilson, that's actually a great segue. We had another coach, Coach Butch McAdams, who was also featured in the documentary, and he was on our show a few weeks ago, and I'm going to quote what he said. He said, it was a great piece of work, you know, meaning the documentary, and it served its purpose. But from a historical standpoint, you needed at least a couple more hours. And then he went on to mention guys like, he said, Roland Fatty Taylor, Harold Fox, Jerome McDaniel, Thurl Bailey, Dickie Simpkins. He mentioned Derek Wittenberg. I knew half of those guys, but your thoughts on that, and who are some guys that maybe you thought should have been mentioned, maybe from your playing days, that you could recognize in helping to carry on the legacy, or who have helped to carry on the legacy of PG basketball prominence?
Oh, my goodness. There were so many terrific players. Yeah. Butch named a few of them, the Dickie Simpkins and Thurl Baileys. But, you know, there was also a kid that I coached at Riverdale Baptist. Not Riverdale, but I'm sorry. I coached at Largo High School back in 1991. They went on to Georgetown. Don Reed played for the Pistons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Don Reed.
There's mm-hmm. also another phenomenal player that came out of Prince George's County, the Wizard, Walt Williams. yes. Went to Maryland, played in the NBA. For a long stint with the Rockets and with the Blazers. And then, you know, then you have another phenomenal player, Monty Williams, that mm-hmm. came out of Potomac High School, went to Notre Dame and, you know, went to play for the Magic. And he's now an NBA coach, one of the, you know, very, very few African-American head coaches in the NBA, Monty Williams, that came out of Prince George's County. There's Brian Ellaby, who was, you know, one of the players come out of Bowie High School back in the 80s, you know, went to the University of Michigan. I mean, coached at the University of Michigan, a black coach at the University of Michigan back in the day, went to Rutgers. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I could list a lot of players that I played against back in the 70s. We came out together. We had phenomenal shooting battles. A player by the name of Booty Neal. From Oxon Hill High School. He went on to play at the University of Kansas in that same year. I went on to Howard University. Like I said, I could just, you know, go on and on with some of the great players that came out of our county. There was Larry Spriggs, a good friend of mine, who went to Northwestern High School, played with me at Howard University, a member of the Dunk Patrol. He was a three-time player of the year in the NBAC, got a NBA championship ring with the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, should I go on and on? There's so many good players.
Which is awesome. You know, it just shows how, again, the rich culture we have here in PG County when it comes to basketball. And it's such a blessing to now know that we are on a national stage in terms of how we're viewed in comparison to the major cities like the New York cities. But Coach, kind of shifting gears, but staying on topic with the documentary, we had Mike Sweeney on the show recently, and, you know, you placed emphasis to have your team compete outside the D.C. area, such as, you know, I know took your team to a tournament down in Florida twice, right? Back-to-back years in Palm Beach, and you won. I know you won one of those tournaments, And talking with guys, like I said, like Mike Sweeney, who never transferred to a private school, how can you keep talented kids in the public school system or you know, kids that are in that zone, in that school zone from going to the school versus selecting a private school or prep school thinking that they could get a better opportunity to be recruited?
You know, that's an excellent question. I just feel like, you know, if you're doing things the right way and you're taking the right steps to help student athletes, you know, to reach their dreams. You can't do anything but succeed. And that's what I've always tried to do in all of my stops in high school coaching basketball, just trying to fulfill the student athlete's dream. And like you said, you know, the private schools always are trying to, or most of the time are getting the cream of the crop from mm-hmm. the county. But there are kids that can get the same opportunities with public schools. And we have proven that. Like you said, myself, I've only been at Wise for 2 years, and, you know, we've already started to try to make inroads as being a national type team by traveling to different states, not only just traveling and competing, but winning championships in different mm-hmm. states. And that's what we've done at Wise the last 2 years. I've taken my kids to West Palm Beach, Florida, to play in, you know, very, very competitive Sunshine State. They have private schools in the tournament. They have public schools in the tournaments. And we were very blessed and very fortunate to come out with a championship my first year when I went down. And then they invited me back. And then I had an opportunity to take another group of student athletes down, and we won the championship again. But not only are we winning championships, you know, we're trying to give our kids, you know, culture as well, with, you know, taking them to these places, but we're showing them some historical sites, you know, because some of them may not ever get a chance to, you know, travel to a West Palm Beach, and maybe not get a chance to see some of the fabulous houses that the rich and the famous people live in, like, I hate to say his name, but I'm going to say it, our president Donald Trump. You know, they'd probably never get a chance to see Mar-a-Lago, you know, so we try to do little things like that, and then we were there, you know, for the weekend, so, and then we give them some culture stuff by make sure they go to church. We take them to church on a Sunday, you know, visit the church there, so we try to give them that exposure in the public school so that they can come back and tell some of the other good players in their community that, mm-hmm. hey, we did this at Wise, we're doing this at Wise, we have a study table, we eat before the pregame, you know, we eat as a team, whatever it is we're doing to try to build that culture, we're trying to make sure the entire community knows so we can keep some of the local talent right there in our community.
So, hey, Coach, so go ahead. It's great to see you doing that. Go ahead, though, Wally. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Before you were coaching at Wise, you were coaching at Riverdale Baptist High School. Could you tell us a little bit about that experience? Because you have a lot. You did a lot at Riverdale Baptist.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for asking about that. Because Riverdale is definitely another school that's near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. I spent 18 seasons there. And coached some phenomenal players that had gone on to NBA range, mm-hmm. That's gone on to, you know, HBCU schools, that have mm-hmm. gone on to just doing great things in the community. Some of them have families right now. Some of them are pastor, you know, youth pastors. I really enjoyed my time at Riverdale Baptist. My most famous team was 2005, when I felt like we had 15 starters on that team. It was, you know, and you got 15 players that can play. You know, mm-hmm. it's hard to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
But we did a phenomenal job, though. I mean, no one was disgruntled. You know, had great team chemistry. You know, we traveled to San Antonio, Texas, and we traveled to New Jersey. We played in all these different events. We went to played in Kentucky, down at Louisville. Of course, everybody wanted to see us as well. We had Michael Beasley. We had Nolan Smith. Mm. I mean, we had Travis Ivey. We had Kenny Burks. We had Javon Borm. We were loaded. We were loaded. We ended up only losing one game that year.
Oh, wow.
And that was in 2005.
Well, Lee, that's your guy, Mike Beasley.
I know, you know, Beasley's my guy. You already know that's my guy, man.
Absolutely.
One of the more talented players I've ever seen in a long time.
Another phenomenal team we had was in 2012. Matter of fact, that 2005 team, we did end up winning the championship. And then 2012, we won another championship. That was another awesome team. That team went 35-3. And on that team was an NBA player. He was a sophomore. Yeah, Chanani was a sophomore that year. kid by the name of Chinanu Onuwaku. He went to Louisville, ended up getting drafted by the Houston Rockets. We had a that was a phenomenal team. We had a point guard by the name of Keon Hill. He went to Howard University. He went to Howard University, played at the HBCU, graduated, and he's the one. He's a youth minister right now. We have Brandon Peel, 6'6" forward. He's the first playing professionally overseas right now. Kyrie Dobie, he's playing professionally overseas. We had an outstanding team. Rice Hunt. I mean, we were a loaded team. But we've had several of those types of teams at Riverdale. So I was just blessed and fortunate to be able to attract such talented players and student athletes to my school. And that's the only difference between the public school and Riverdale Baptist or DeMatha, you know, or National Christian or a place like that. You're able to get players from anywhere. I mean, from anywhere. There were players calling me from, you know, I was getting phone calls from Africa, from Canada. Matter of fact, I had a story about one of my student athletes my second year at Riverdale Baptist. Got a call from Canada about a kid by the name of Sheree Thomas. And I didn't know who he was. I heard he was pretty good. Fran Fratello, I know you hear him on ESPN all the time. Well, he had told me this kid was a really good player and I need to come to New Jersey because they're having an ABCD camp. That's where all the top players are coming to New Jersey for a camp. So I said, you know what, I'll contact him. I contacted him, talked to his mom and dad, and we got a chance to meet up in New Jersey, and we hit it off right away. And he decided to come to Riverdale. Left Canada and came to Riverdale for two seasons, and he ended up going to the University of Kentucky.
Wow.
So, I mean, I was able to get, you know, student athletes like that from all over the, not just the country, but from other, you know, parts of the world. I've had kids from Africa, Bassirou Ding, from the Senegal, who ended up at Georgia Tech. You know, first he started out at Norfolk State, another HBCU school. I was always trying to get my players to HBCU
school. I see.
That goal.
That was a goal of mine. That was a real goal of mine, trying to get the best players in those schools.
Awesome.
And I was successful sometimes, so.
And that was that.
But yeah, I loved my years at Riverdale.
And you were, I believe, Prince George's County Gazette had you coach of the decade too. In that time frame.
I was very fortunate to be named coach of the decade. Wow. And I was just I was also honored in 2015 by the late. Great, legendary, the all-time best high school coach in the world, Morgan Wooten. I was so honored to get and receive an award from him, the Morgan Wooten Leadership Award. I hold that plaque, that silver, that's just dear to my heart.
Wow.
I really, really appreciated him thinking that much of me to give me that award. But yeah, so it's been a great ride for me.
Yeah, I actually had a chance, by the way, to cover Onuwaku. I knew his brother back in the day at Renze, but I covered him in the G League, man, when he played for Greensboro. They came and played the Capital City Go-Go, man. So he's still out there playing pro ball, man. So I know
I was there.
That's one of many. You were there? Okay.
I was there that night. I don't know if you heard him, but I also had another kid that played for me at Riverdale Baptist. His name was Devin Sweetney. He was on that team with Beasley and Nolan Smith on the 2005 team. Well, Devin was on the team, on the DC Go-Go team, and he was playing against Chananu. And I was there, my wife was there, and a couple of other coaches were there, and Chananu did something. He made a great move and made some kind of play.
He got a duck. He said, "This is my city, Lou." I remember that.
I was
right there.
he comes up. Like, "Coach, dude, this is my city." I'm like, oh, man.
You know what? That made me so mad, Coach. I know that's your boy, but that made me mad because really the Go-Go gave that game away. They was up 8 with like a minute to go. I don't know how they lost. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. I'm like, now he want to talk when they win. But that's what it's about, though. It's about these young men, of course. And I just think it's dope that, you know, the future generations are going to have the ability to go back and actually watch you on this documentary. You know, I know you have an established legacy, but, you know, has it resonated that this documentary is going to allow future generations for lifetimes to come and be able to go back and see you on there about the history of PG basketball? And you said we might see more parts of this documentary to come out. So have you thought about that yet? I mean, this is always online. This is always available to the viewing public.
Yeah, I haven't. It really hasn't resonated quite yet, but I have had several friends, several coaches from other states that have seen the documentary and they saw me on the documentary and they have reached out to me to tell me that they saw me, you know, and I did a good job and they were excited about it. So yeah, I think it's going to be kind of special to have a chance to have some, you know, younger kids to, you know, get a chance to view me as one of the legendary coaches of PG County.
Absolutely. So, Coach, obviously, we're on the phone right now, social distancing. How are you handling that? How's your team handling that? Are you keeping in touch with players? And, you know, just what's your thoughts about the near future when it comes to this upcoming season and your basketball program during this trying time with the pandemic?
You know, the pandemic has really put everything to such a screeching halt. I mean, we were on our way, this year's team, we were chugging along. Mm-hmm. We won the regional championship, knocking off the defending champ, Roosevelt.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Went over to Annapolis and knocked off, on the road, knocked off Annapolis in their house and in a state quarterfinal game. We were on our way to Maryland for the Final Four. And so when the virus hit and it shut everything down, we were very, very hurt because we felt like we were on such a great journey to win a state championship. And with a young team, we felt like this was going to be our run. I mean, I've only been there 2 years, but felt like this is the time to really, you know, make a mark at Wise and winning back-to-back-to-back maybe state championships. And because we had a young team, those kids were coming back this year.
That's awesome.
Well, right now, you know, everything is still up in the air. I don't believe that we're going to be able to go back in to the school, and I don't believe the class is going to be held in the school yards. So athletically, I don't believe that they're going to allow us to play, especially this year in December. The jury could be out whether they will allow us to play in January to spring. And that's all depending on, you know, how we carry ourselves with this virus, whether they can find a remedy or whether they can find something to correct the virus or slow the virus down or even contain it. I mean, it's just up in the air. I don't think anybody can say what's going to happen, but we feel like, you know, we're going to continue to grind. I know I can't be involved with our players, but I do have my players. I'm in contact with them, and they are in contact with me, social media, you know, which is great because they can be in their backyard. They could be out on the football field. They could be at a stadium running on the steps. Some of them are in, they jump a rope. They got little weight rooms in their houses. So they are to send me clips of them working out, training, getting their bodies right at least twice a week. So we're doing little things like that right now with them to try to make sure they stay on point, and that if something miraculously happens and we're able to get back and get on the court, then we won't be so far behind condition-wise.
Right.
So yeah, we are definitely still involved with our student athletes. It's going to be really, really difficult for our seniors that are coming up. I really feel for them.
Mm.
Right now I have about 4 or 5 seniors.
Wow.
That'll be on the team. And if they're not allowed to play this year, then, you know, that's more work for me. So I've been, they don't even know it, but I've been doing some background work. I've been, you know, sending their information to different colleges and different coaches that I have relationships with, even some coaches that I don't have relationships with. I've been sending their names, their numbers, their some stats, and maybe a clip here or there of the student athletes already to try to get ahead of the game. So yeah, I'm trying to do my best to do my part, you know, to fulfill the student athlete's dream.
That's awesome.
In the midst of all this.
That is awesome. I'm sure their parents appreciate that too. Straightforward, because that's a lot of work you don't have to do, and you're doing that for these kids. That's amazing. And that's a tribute to your character, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, we talked about it. You graduated Howard University. There's a big name coming to Howard now, and Thon Makers. That's his cousin. Am I correct?
Yeah. What'd you say?
That's his cousin. Am I correct? That's his cousin, not his brother, right? That's Thon Maker's cousin, right?
His cousin.
Okay, so thoughts on the big man coming to campus? And they're real. And I want to say Howard is real slick having him come during homecoming. Like his visit during homecoming, I know that like sold it. Like I know that sold it.
There's nothing slick about that. I mean, some of the best players in Howard University history of Howard University basketball and football has come to Howard University doing homecoming.
Of course.
I mean, we didn't trick anybody.
Oh,
I mean,
not at all.
we're giving them a sense of, you know, what it's like to be around your people, and people that are very intelligent, and people that have made it so-called, you know, they say made it. I mean, they're stars, they're movie stars, they're comedians, there's writers, there's poets, there's judges, there's lawyers, there's doctors. Mm-hmm. When you meet people like that and they're genuine at Howard University, and you throw in all the festivities that go in with homecoming, I mean, it's hard to turn it down, for real. It's real hard.
No, it is.
I came from a little place. I came from Douglas High School down in Upper Marlboro back in 75. You know, it wasn't very many African-Americans walking the hallways at Frederick Douglass High School. I mean, and then when I got a chance to visit Howard and saw all these people that looked like me, kind of act like me a little bit, and very intelligent. I mean, I fell in love. I fell in love. So I ended up going to Howard, you know. So I don't see why it would be any different from anybody else. And then this man doesn't know he could possibly meet his wife at Howard University, like I did.
Mm.
I met my wife at Howard University.
A lot of people
can say that they met their wives at Howard University.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you. You know, I'll be rooting for you, except when Wise plays Duval. That said, I graduated from Duval, so that's the only time, you know, I'll be going against you. But other than that, man, you got my vote. And like I said, don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back at some point. And God bless. Hopefully, you know, you guys will be able to get back out on the court as soon as it's safe, man. So take care. Thanks again.
Same here.
Thank you for having me. And I'll feel free to reach out to me anytime.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We really do. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Bye.
Oh, that was awesome, man. Where are you there? Is everybody there? That was awesome.
It's always a history lesson.
Yeah,
always,
you know what I mean? Lesson. It is, man.
When you bring the OGs.
Oh, man, we learn something new every day, man, I tell you. All right, the Skins name has been retired. We'll discuss this I said the Skins. I didn't say. I said the Skins. I didn't say the whole thing. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time that made us laugh, I'll wait them back. Forever's gone away. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. I don't know.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will T. We're also on sportsjourney.com, so check us out. So I'm patching my homies in now. In 1933, the Boston, I'm going to say Skins, were born. Eventually in 1937, they were the Washington Skins. I'm going to say that too with quotations, when I'm doing hand quotations. And right now, they are the Washington football team. Yesterday, the team officially retired the Skins name. Thoughts? I'll start Will T because we haven't heard from Will T. Will T.
I think it was the right decision to make as you start to go down this path and you move away from the name. The one thing I would have liked to have seen was the actual press conference where Daniel Snyder got up there, maybe, you know, explained why he thought this was the right path to go. Then, you know, some thought went into disassociating the franchise from that name, and then kind of, you know, lay out a timeline or kind of what the fans can expect over the next couple of months before the organization comes up with a name. And then, you know, take a couple of questions and also be contrite and apologize to Native Americans. But that's asking too much. But I'm glad that they have started to go down this path, and this is definitely a good step in the right direction.
Ray?
I'm not going to spend too much time on this topic because, in large part, it's time to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a long time getting here. The change is being made. And now a football franchise can hopefully focus on football. That's what I've been emphasizing in all my discussions about this topic as of late over the last couple of days. So the unfortunate piece is that it took, you know, the money piece to really push the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
But we predicted that probably a month ago, that once Daniel Snyder's pockets were affected, that he would probably make this move. So again, with a new regime, let's move forward. Let's talk about some football and let's see what they're going to do on the field whenever they get back out there.
Yeah, right. So eventually, can we talk about football? Like, instead of names and whatnot, like, I feel for Ron Rivera. Like, you just come into a situation and it's like, you know, obviously this is going to distract you. Even if you didn't have the power that he does have, it's like he can't. It's like now he'll be asked, even, you know, virtually asked questions about this name change or, you know, what's going on outside of football. You know, now, like, you just want to kind of push this whole thing forward so he can focus on football.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why I said it in my previous statement that there needed to be, you know, kind of a timeline of when a decision to be made and kind of next steps in the process. And that would leave it very vague, and this is something that he'll be asked all throughout training camp, and he'll be asked during the season. And, you know, it's something that could be a bit of a distraction to him, because we know the owner isn't going to get out in front and have those discussions with the media.
Yeah. I mean, just not going to happen. So I think they're going to probably try to rush this thing as soon as, you know, as soon as possible. I've heard reports that a name will happen. Well, there's multiple reports. Somebody said like in the next 2 days or whatnot. We'll see what we'll see about that. You know, somebody, you know, there's some folks who are already kind of jumped on the, you know, jumped on the branding rights and got, you know, copyrighted some of those names so they can get that bag. So that may delay the process a little bit, but we'll see what happens. We'll continue our McCore Maker going to Howard Howard discussion after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, and Ray. I'm going to pass the fellas in. I'm not even saying the social distancing thing. Oh, what's on my phone? There you go. All right, yeah, we're also on sportsjourney.com. All right, ESPN's 16th ranked high school basketball prospect, McCore Maker, has decided to go to Howard. We talked about that already. We discussed this with Coach. Your thoughts, and let's dive right into it. Your thoughts on him going to Howard, and like what impact will that have on for other HBCUs? You know, if he balls or whatnot. Ray,
I'll let Ray go.
Ray, you can go first.
It's a start, and I'm glad that he had the courage to obviously make the first move. He put out there, McCormick put out there, that he wants Mikey Williams to be next, to rock with him. I understand Imoni Bates, you know, top player in the country, Imoni, however you pronounce his name, he has ties to Michigan State. But he's looking straight to go straight to the NBA anyway once that time period comes where it's expected that the NBA will lift that age restriction. However, it is a start to HBCUs returning to prominence in college basketball, which was the case many years ago, until these schools, these bigger schools, a lot of them that were all white, began to allow black athletes to be on their sports teams. So I'm hoping that our young people will learn the history. Also, with just this decision, it's already indicated that Howard's going to be on TV more, which means more TV revenue. They'll play the bigger schools without the bigger schools necessarily feeling like I got to pay you. And also, when you go to recruit, saying, hey, you want to come to Howard? Oh, yeah, I want to play with McCore Maker. Who wouldn't want to play with a really good big man in this day and age? You know what I mean? Where we call positionless basketball, whatever you want to call it, where we see less traditional style big men. Not saying that he's a traditional big man, but still, big men are hard to come by. You have to be good big men, and I think he's one of them. Again, ranked 16th in the country, that's saying a lot. So I'm excited about it. Being a graduate of HBCU, I'm hoping that it'll be a trickle-down effect, but I believe it's going to take time because we've heard of recent commitments, and at this point, he remains the only top name to commit to HBCU. But you hear what Coach Wilson is saying. I'm almost certain that there are many other high school basketball coaches across the country who are telling their players the same thing. Hey, go to an HBCU. We're seeing change. We talked about the name of our football team here in this town. Yo, change is happening all across the board.
And this will be amazing. It will also be great for some of our excellent HBCU coaches to get the chance to have top talent on their teams or the size that they usually lack. And let's see how they fare now against the big schools. It's crazy, man. When I watch movies like Glory Road and you hear about the history of Adolph Rupp and how he was racist, and I know that changed over the years. They hired Tubby Smith eventually, Kentucky did. But it's like now so many kids are like, I'm going to Kentucky, you know, one and done. And they're not remembering, you know, just shoot, a few decades ago, you would never be able to go to Kentucky. So knowing your history and also being, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, not being a follower, you know, being a leader. I'm hoping that they'll follow suit.
So, Will, I got a question for you, Will.
Ray, you made...
Go ahead, Will. Sorry. I jumped in too early. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Ask your question.
All right, Rob. For this to be a successful, you know, showing, right, to persuade other individuals to go to HBCUs, what does he have to do at Howard, like, in terms of balling? Does he have to, like, set the world on fire? Does he have to, like, to dominate? Does he have to get this team to a good tournament run? Like, what does he have to do to persuade other kids to say, you know what, let's go to HBCUs?
And that question was for me?
Yeah, for you.
Well, he has to come in. Well, I think, first of all, I want to say I think it's an unfair expectation, what I'm going to say, for him to do, for it to be sustainable.
Okay.
First, he has to come in and he has to lead, you know, get Howard the exposure on a national level, you know, against the traditional powerhouse basketball programs. Two, he would need to take them to the NCAA tournament and at least probably win a game at least. And three, if he decides to, you know, if he decides to go to the NBA, he would have to be a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And in the course of him being a lottery pick, he would also have to, you know, reintroduce NBA GMs and scouts to MEAC schools to get them to come to the schools consistently to scout players. Don't get me wrong. This is a great start what Maker is doing coming to Howard University. But the question I ask is he just coming to Howard for a one and done season, or is he going to come here for, you know, a season or two or possibly three where he could have long standing, sustained success for the basketball program.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
And I'm all for the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm all for the athlete doing what's best for them, because ultimately, you know, it's a business. College sports is a business. But we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, if him coming to Howard or any other top player going to an HBCU for a one and done season, how does that help the program and MEAC basketball long term, right?
Mm.
I think that's not something we really thought about. I think ultimately it's great that, you know, getting a player of his stature to come to Howard is a great thing, and it can attack and it can bring attention to, you know, Howard's program and get them on against playing in national playing on TV against the powerhouse traditional national basketball programs, but will this be sustainable over time? And that's only time will tell.
Yeah, hope for like lightning in the bottle.
Share thing.
Say what, Will? I mean, Ray?
I'm just hoping that, and I know he will, just share your experiences on social media. I mean, it should be a mini docu-series about this, because then that will really help people to get an inside look at what attending an HBCU looks like, mm-hmm. and how it can be just as lit. You can learn just as much, and it's not necessarily a downgrade from these bigger schools. But go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
No, I think that in terms of Will's question is a very good question. Is, you know, well, he, you know, mm-hmm. with a one and done, how much impact could a one and done situation be? I think that's a very great question. And I think that it just like, because in every situation now, if you're a top recruit, you're a one and done basically. in the grand scheme of things. That's your goal, right? So, like, the only thing you can do, and like Will said in his starting it off, like, you're putting a lot of pressure on, that's putting a lot of pressure on his kid to even achieve that, is that everything Will said, he pretty much has to do in 1 year. You know what I mean? To me, to entice more kids to go that route. You know what I mean? Because if you show a kid that he can be a lottery pick, this is the most important. You can show a kid that he can be a lottery pick going to HBCU, then yes, I think that the game has changed. If you can show if the game has changed, at the end of the day, the kid wants to be a lottery pick. At the end of the day, so what school is going to make that kid help that kid become a lottery pick? If that kid's talent is good enough to be a lottery pick going to HBCU, then I think that's already changed. I think that's already changed the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's currently ranked number 16 in his class, right? Mm-hmm. Number 16 doesn't necessarily, if we just aligning it with, you know, the number of NBA teams, doesn't necessarily equate to you being a lottery pick, right? You'd mm-hmm. be a first round pick.
Yeah.
If you're the 16th best player in your team, in your class. But will him going to a HBCU, the level of competition, the level of exposure, and the coaching he gets, will that help drive him up to being a lottery pick? That's the greatest question.
Yeah.
And if it does,
then
I think the floodgates will open and you will start to see more of the top national recruits coming to HBCUs. But if it doesn't, if we start, you know, towards the middle of the season and we, you know, when these draft sites start putting out their forecasting, you know, the NBA draft,
mm-hmm.
if we start to hear the biggest question that NBA GMs and scouts have is the level of competition, that could potentially hurt down the road.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. All right, we gotta go to break. Could we get a Tyson Holyfield rematch? Johnny Sigg from Leave It in the Ring Radio will join us to answer this question after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo performer. But tonight, don't call it a comeback.
You're listening to the urban sports scene with Will T, myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. Like I said before, we are now on sportsjourney.com, so make sure you check us out there. Let me patch in the fellas. There we go. Boom. All right. We're speeding through it. We're like got 10 more minutes left on the show. Y'all there? Is everybody there?
Yeah, I'm here. Johnny's there. Johnny on.
He's John waiting on Johnny. I don't think I heard a ding yet. That's usually the cue when somebody comes on. All right. I don't hear anything.
Well, he don't show up.
He's gonna show up. He texts me. He's calling in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you wanted
to say we can still talk about
it. Hell yeah, we can still talk about it. We can talk about it now. So, but yeah, Tyson, Evander Holyfield, they got a lot of like videos out there in the game. Tyson's in amazing shape right now. I'm not gonna lie. Like he almost got me hyped. Like, oh, can he come back and be a heavyweight champion? Yeah. Is there like do you like are you seeing this buzz? What do you think is going on, Will T? I'll start with Will T.
I'm not seeing the buzz. I'm not really checking for it.
Okay.
To be honest with you. But no, I'm just being honest.
Yeah,
but I will say it. Huh?
You it said, just sounded funny.
Go ahead. You good? Okay. But coincidentally, something that I did end up watching on Sunday because I was bored was Chasing Tyson, which is a 30 for 30 on ESPN Plus, and it was just they were talking about, you know, how Evander Holyfield at that point in his career, he almost needed Mike Tyson to validate him, right? Mm-hmm. And the hype that was behind that fight, and then, you know, kind of the fight was derailed because of Mike Tyson's legal problems and everything. And it gave a great backstory about, you know, the fight, everything leading up to the fight. But this edition of Tyson versus Holyfield, I don't think anyone will be remotely excited about it because this is a different Mike Tyson, right? The first time, you know, these guys were way younger. They were really in their prime. But this time, there's a mystique that's not around Mike Tyson like it was previously. Mike Tyson was the boogeyman. He was someone that no one was able to solve outside of James Buster Douglas, and everyone thought that was a fluke. At this point in their lives, you know, yes, Mike Tyson looks incredible. He looks in incredible shape, but he's not the same eccentric. Everyone's scared of him, Mike Tyson. He's a much more tame, mellow fellow who's in great shape, a lot older. So I don't think there'll be any interest in this fight.
Yeah, Johnny's having the same issue
with
the coach.
I'll say this. I don't think it's any buzz, bro. Like
ain't no buzz.
Are you checking? I mean, you said
you're
not checking
buzz,
bullets?
Man. What you mean no buzz, bro? Some buzz. Don't fry it.
Bruh, I'm talking about. No. Like, when I think buzz, I think Masvidal Usman. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was buzz. You know what I mean? You think Mayweather Pacquiao, not Tyson Holyfield at 70. And then here's the thing. Evander Holyfield, who's going to give him a license? That man was barely medically cleared to fight at the end of his career. Like, there was a doctor who said his brain can no longer tell his hands to block his face. Like, that's how bad off he was. So I don't believe that this is going to happen unless, you know, it's some type of exhibition fight where it's being closely monitored by medical experts and personnel. Other than that, you know, how would this even come together? Like, the shape that Mike Tyson's in, it looks as though if he hit Evander Holyfield, he just might Apollo Creed him. I mean, is that real? Because, again, a lot of boxers are like this. We've seen this with many. Riddick Bowe, Meldrick Taylor, you see the result of the wear and tear, and Evander Holyfield is definitely at the top of that list. So who in their right mind will let that man back in the ring? I don't care if it's for fun.
I got Johnny on too. FYI, I got Johnny on too. I think Johnny, you there, right?
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
Thank you, man.
How's it going, John, bro?
I'm doing well, bro. Technology is giving me a butt whooping, but I'm
it's all good. So let me introduce you there, man. Right now we have Johnny Sigg from Leaving in the Ring Radio on the line. Johnny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What about you guys?
We're good, man. We're good. We're just talking.
Doing well. I was doing good, Johnny, all the way up until we started talking about Holyfield Tyson. Like this is 1992.
Hey, Johnny, let these folks know about let these folks know about Tyson Holyfield, man. Johnny, the floor is yours, man. The resurgence of Tyson Holyfield. Let these folks know.
I tell you
Let's hear it.
I wake up every morning and I see Holyfield posting some inspirational, motivational quotes, and I see Mike Tyson hitting mitts and looking great at 53, Holyfield at 57. Man, this is fantastic.
Exactly.
I mean, we got, yeah, it's motivating.
Come on, Johnny, come on.
I'm telling you, this is good stuff.
Exactly.
We're in a period right now where we have young elite fighters that have been on the shelf that are not willing to fight. These guys want to come back. Bring it on.
That's what I'm talking about, Mike.
All right, John, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is the exact reason that people start to lose an interest in boxing, right? Because of this right here. You said it perfectly. A 53-year-old. That's the problem with boxing. That's the problem with boxing. No, seriously, that's the problem with boxing as a sport. when the boxers get older, when these Warriors have given their all throughout their 20s and into their 30s, they're often left as a shell of themselves out of the public eye, and then sometimes without the financial means to support themselves going forward, right? When the thought of two 50-something-year-old, once great, not once, all-time legends in heavyweight boxing, lacing them up to get back in the ring and fight again, it's just a travesty. It just goes to show you that, one, there needs to be some type of union for boxers. For boxers, you know, when they retire from the sport, so they can get some type of pension and type of medical, you know, a type of their medical is paid for. And two, just goes to show you that the state of boxing that we don't necessarily, because of the politics between the promoters, is holding up a lot of great fights that are in the pipeline that the boxing public is clamoring to see, and we need to see. But if we don't get these fights, then boxing will continue to be, I'm not going to say continue, but boxing will dwindle to be just a niche sport that's already been overtaken by mixed martial arts.
Well, I could definitely understand your point. And we got to look at Mike Tyson here. Hasn't fought since 2005, I believe it was. So we're talking 15 years ago. Holyfield, I believe it was 2011. So we're talking 9 years. You know, they've been out of the ring for a while. Some people could see it as a circus act. Originally, I think these guys were coming out to do it for charity, but I think they got really good at getting back on track. I mean, look at the physique of these guys. Look at Mike Tyson right now. Look at Holyfield right now. And yes, I am definitely drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm telling you right now, because I look at these guys, and I'm like, they look fantastic. And originally, I think it was supposed to be charity. Some people see it as a circus act. Yes, boxing is that red light district. We're always going to have sideshow attractions. But this is one I wouldn't mind seeing. I'm sorry. I just wouldn't mind seeing it.
Nobody will watch Tyson? Like, nobody will watch Tyson's comeback, though? Like, really? Like, let's be real. Like, you wouldn't watch it, though? You wouldn't watch it?
Yo, I will say this. It's better for him to come back against Holyfield than the Gypsy King. They would really try to have that man killed. I don't care what type of shape he in. Like seriously, I'm sitting here looking at Mike Tyson. He's in shape and all.
He's
in
great shape,
dude.
He
can punch, but come on, man. Like this is the problem with social media, bro. You build yourself up.
Yeah.
And then you come crashing down, man. Like, he's not Logan Paul, bro. Like, what the heck is going on?
Look, man, George Foreman did it, bro. Like, George Foreman came back and won the heavyweight. Well, George Foreman came back and did some work. How
George
come Mike
Foreman
can't do it?
George Foreman was in his 40s. He wasn't George Foreman.
But he wasn't even in shape, though. He's basically a 50-year-old body, though. He had a 50-year-old body, though.
Hold on. And two, there was never – George Foreman could easily pass a boxing commission medical.
Okay, that's true.
I think exactly. Evander Holyfield will have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Passing any state commission medical exam for them to license this spot.
I'm not talking about Holyfield because I think Holyfield's already done. Like I agree with you, Will. I think any hit would be like Rocky or something like that. I can't even like get on Holyfield. I'm not going to even
Apollo
talk
Creed.
Exactly.
I just said it. Apollo Creed.
Anytime I hear him talk,
Johnny.
I'm like,
Johnny, do you listen to hip hop? Johnny, do you?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you listen? You listen to hip hop music like old school hip hop music, man?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a group. It's a group. UGK, Pimp C, he said on album years ago, nobody wants to see old and flabby Larry Holmes. Right? And that was just because these dudes are fit, we're going to give them a pass back into the ring. I don't know, man.
Maybe I'm stuck in the 90s, but I will say this. Maybe I'm stuck on my childhood, seeing my heroes come back, but I will say this. You know, if it goes past three rounds, if they face anyone, whether it's Holyfield facing Tyson, or them facing Tyson Fury, or you know anyone out there, Deontay Wilder, after the third or fourth round, my guys are in trouble. my childhood heroes are in trouble.
Yeah, man, John, we always got Mike Tyson punch out. They can't take that away from us, man. They can't take that away from
you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they can't take that away from us. Yeah, we got that. They can't take.
Holyfield got that heart too.
Yeah, he got that heart. You know, he half an ear and got heart. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But it should be fun. We'll all watch it. Come on, guys. We know we'll watch it.
Everybody's gonna watch it.
Nah, I will not watch it. I will not.
What if hey, you gonna watch it for free? Hey, Will, you gonna watch it for free? You gonna watch it for free, Will?
Yeah,
free?
I was gonna say exactly. What if I invited you over to my house, made you a nice dinner? I think you'd watch it then, right?
With some wings,
I still wouldn't watch.
With some wings, though. Double fry, hey Will. With some wings, double fry. Double fry, Will.
If you had some bourbon, I would enjoy the bourbon, and hopefully you have some ginger beer for the bourbon. But I would not watch the fight. I'm sorry.
Well, you come to my house, I'll definitely hook it up with the booze.
All right, I appreciate that. But no, it's just not something I'm interested in watching, man. I'm really not interested in seeing that fight.
Oh, man.
Can I ask you too many great that you want to see right now? What's the fight you want to see right now in boxing? Top fight.
The fight that I want to see right now is Errol Spence versus Bud Crawford. That's one.
Now
two,
yep.
and two, I want to see. I think a lot of people are down on this fight, but I really want to see the rematch between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
Absolutely.
You mad at Holyfield
and
Tyson?
I really want to see that rematch.
Are you mad at Holyfield and Tyson? You want to see?
Oh, man.
You really understand where Deontay Wilder, what cloth he's cut from. Like, we'll understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Wilder really has what it takes to come back. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because that's the exact reason what I want to see. You know, he hasn't faced any adversity. Well, he's faced some adversity in the ring, but he hasn't been clearly dominated to the point where it wasn't even close, right? I want to see what he's built from. You know, we hear a lot of the talk. We've seen the training videos. I want to see what Deontay Wilder has, see what level of resiliency he has after he's been counted down and out.
Yeah. To this day.
Absolutely.
I know, to this day.
And in a lot of ways, the other fight you mentioned, Errol Spence, we got to see what he's coming off of because, I mean, he didn't lose.
Danny.
But we all saw that accident. Like, if he's going to step in there with a guy like Terrence Crawford, man, Terrence, like, first of all, I think he's one of the best fighters in boxing, period. Mm. You know, and Errol Spence is certainly one of them. But how much did that accident take out of Errol Spence, man? It's going to be an interesting period once we start getting the big fights.
Yeah,
Bud don't want.
And then I'm also, and then I also want to see Triple G versus Canelo. Number.
Oh my god.
I like that fight. I think it's always a compelling fight. I mean, I think Canelo will win, but it's a compelling fight.
Oh man,
Ray, what?
It's time to get the up and comers on TV, bro. Like I'm talking about Tank versus Ryan Garcia. You know what I mean? Shakur Stevenson versus Santa Cruz. I mean, like some of the younger guys who are more exciting, let's see them. We mentioned the Triple G and Canelo. While, you know, they definitely put on good fights, but we've seen it enough.
We have.
Well, you know,
we've seen it, but we all.
It's good, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's a
history
good.
History has shown us whenever there's a third fight, that's usually the most action-packed fight. Because both parties know they got to lay it all out on the line because there really isn't. There's minimal opportunity for a fourth fight unless you're talking about Pacquiao Marquez, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm interested in seeing the third fight
again.
Yeah, I know.
Triple G's going to be 137 years old when they fight again. Mm. You know, he's already starting to look a little shop-worn, you know, and by the time they get back in there, who knows with the pandemic, fellas, right? But there are a lot of great fights. Like you mentioned, like Davis, and Garcia, that's a real great fight. If they can make that happen, these kids are up and coming. You know, they're big on social media. They have a huge following.
Right.
You know, it's all there. You know, all the makings for, you know, a great buzz going into a mega fight is all there. I'd love to see it.
Johnny, let me ask you this. Because I was having this discussion a week ago. Ryan Garcia is a guy who's very popular on social media. I think he has like 6.5 million followers. Do you think that popularity, that 6.5 million followers, translate into
pay-per-view buys and view, you know, and views when he fights on DAZN or anything like that? Or do you think it's just people find, you know, they're intrigued with his personality and they'll just watch him from a distance on social media and not necessarily invest in his career and watching his fight?
That is a really great question. And I think it's a combination of everything you just said right there. It depends on the opponent for the pay-per-view buys to translate into, like, you know, the followers. I'm sure the followers will help, you know, come over and sell a fight, but it's got to be a meaningful fight, in my opinion. And it's got to be marketed right. Because unfortunately right now, if you look at what boxing is doing, it's not really marketing itself very well. It's like, some people are like, when is DAZN coming back? Well, I know, August 15th. Because I'm a diehard, but a lot of people don't know. And a lot of people are subscribers and they have no idea, you know? And then even with, like, you know, Showtime, it's like, what's going on over there? And Fox, what's going on over there? You have to really do the research. ESPN is a little bit more in your face because they've been very active doing 2 to 3 cards a week, but still it's like, who's fighting this week? You know, so I think it's all about the timing and the marketing. I do think that he is definitely a big, sensational superstar in the making if he does take on a big name and looks impressive and wins in emphatic fashion. You know, so to answer your question, I think it can, but it has to be done at the right time against the right opponent.
Okay. Yeah, we got Loma coming up. We got Loma.
Who do you think the right opponent
for? Yes, you know.
Who do you think the right opponent for Ryan Garcia is?
Well, like you had mentioned, like anyone in that weight class that's the name worth mentioning, especially like a Tank Davis, you know, because then you have this guy that's on social media and Ryan Garcia, that's like the heartthrob sensation and the Lance Glover, and he's got all these followers. You have Javonte Davis out there kind of playing the bad guy role. You know, that would be a hell of a matchup, I think, if they could put it together. I do, however, think you mentioned Lomo and Teofimo. That is one hell of a fight that I am looking forward to seeing. That is one of the best fights they could do in boxing right now, whether it's during pandemic or not. It's almost like a pick'em fight. How much, you know, we covered this last week a little bit, how much does, you know, Lomachenko have left because he's had a lot of amateur pedigree and fights, and, you know, what can Teofimo bring to the table? Does he step up in the biggest moment of his life? Can't wait to see it. Should be interesting.
Yes, definitely should. Johnny, before we let you go, how can folks catch you on social media and let them know about the show you just did?
Check me out on Leave It in the Ring. Thank you guys for asking. Leave It in the Ring Radio Network. It's just at Leave It in the Ring on Twitter, on Instagram. And I really appreciate you guys. We're on YouTube. And I love coming on with you guys, man. It's always a blast.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate you, Johnny. Told you that already.
Thank you, man.
You know what I mean?
We'll talk to you soon, fellas.
Yeah,
have
definitely.
A great night.
Same here, Johnny. Thanks for jumping on. All we appreciate it.
Always.
Awesome.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap this show up. Before we wrap up, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. I want to thank all the guests. I want to thank Johnny for jumping on. I want to thank Coach, man. Coach was amazing. I want to thank him for jumping on. Any things you all want to say before we jet out?
No, it was good. It was great having all three of us doing the show.
I know it was.
It was a great show. Ray, you did an amazing job with the interview with Coach Newt.
I think so too. Yeah, you did a great job.
Kudos to you.
Great job, bro. Real talk. Real people say real things, man.
I appreciate you guys. And to those listening, look out for next week. Our PG County Baller series continues,
man. All right, definitely. All right, man. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.